The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This is the third in a series on Parashas Bereishis. This evening we'll start from Pasuk Vov. Bereishis Aleph, Pasuk Vov. This is the creation of the second day. Ayim Aleichim, Yirokia B'sech HaMoim, B'mavdil Ben Maim L'moy. And Hashem said, let there be a Rokia. A Rokia is what we would call it's translated as a firmament. It would be a sky. Let there be a sky, which will be in between the waters. And it will divide between the waters and the waters. The upper waters and the lower waters. Ayas Aleichim HaSorokia. And Hashem made this firmament, this sky, by Abdul Ben Amayim, Hashem Itachas Rokia, and he separated between the waters, which were beneath the sky, Uben Amayim, Hashem Eala Rokia, and between the waters, which are above the sky, by Yichain, and so it was, by Yikor Alekim Lerokia Shomoyim, and he called the sky Shomayim, which we know to mean heavens, he called it Shomayim, by Yerev Ayvoke Yom Sheni. And it was evening and it was morning, the second day. Now, it would seem, that the waters, Kodesh Baruch Hu had created the waters, and the waters were over on the earth, but they continued all the way up with some type of connection. Doesn't mean that it was like ocean all the way up. Right. It could mean that it was vapor, or mist, but there was a chibur. It's mashma. It seems that there was some type of connection between the waters, the lower waters, the waters which are on the earth, and the upper waters, which become the rain waters and so forth. Before the sky was made, this water and this vapor just went up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu states, he made a rokia, he made this rokia. Now the word rokia comes from the word yiraku, which means spread. See, he made a spread, something which was sort of, that was spread out. He made this spread, b'seich hamoyim, which went in between the waters. Rashi explains here, it doesn't mean b'seich hamoyim were actually necessarily touched the waters and divided it, but it means be'emtza hamayim, where it went in between the waters, and therefore there were waters beneath it and waters above it, and this divided the higher waters from the lower waters. Now also it doesn't mean that the waters were like one block and this sky went right through, and therefore the upper waters were resting on the sky and the lower waters were all the way up to the sky. Now, see, this is why Rashi says b'seich hamoyim. B'seich hamoyim means be'emtza. It was in the middle of the water. She's hefrish bein mayim elyonim l'rukia. And then there was space. There was space between this sky and the upper waters. K'may bein arukia l'mayim shalo oretz. And just like there was space between the sky and the lower waters. So if that's the case, then the waters were not actually leaning on the sky, and the sky was not actually resting on the lower waters. So what was this rokia leaning on? So Rashi says, "Olamadeto shem tluim b'mamor shel melech." The sky is leaning on nothing, but it's tluim b'mamor shel melech. It extends there, and it stays there because of the word of Hashem. This is what it states, Vayabdil ben hamayim Hashem itachas rokia, ubein hamayim Hashem me'al rokia. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this sky, which should divide between the waters which were above the rokia. See? Now, above the rokia, Rashi explains, Al-Rakia, Leinemar, Elamei Al-Rakia. It doesn't say that it divided between the waters which were above the sky, but the waters which were extended. Me'al means extended above the sky. So this teaches us that the upper waters also were Teluim. See, they were just extended there. They were not leaning on the sky. All right. So this is the explanation that, again, that we had waters on the earth. As we'll see soon, they were covering the entire earth. And these waters extended all the way upwards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a rokiya. Rokiya is a spread, something that will spread out, a sky, and it will go between the waters. But it doesn't mean that it actually cut through the waters, and the higher waters are leaning on the sky, and the sky is resting on the lower waters. But it means that it went in the middle of the waters, and the higher waters were me'al rokiya. They were extended above the sky, and the sky was extended above the lower waters. So to teach us that the waters, Mayim Elyonim, the upper waters, were Teluim, they were extended with nothing holding them up except the word of Hashem. And the sky itself also was extended, where nothing was holding it up except B'mamor Shel Melech, except with the word of Hashem. Now it seems from here that we're referring, what are we referring to? We're referring to the atmosphere, it would seem. See, this is this sky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, which did not exist before the second day. So we're referring to this atmosphere. It would seem we're referring to the upper atmosphere. But from the Gemara, seems to imply quite clearly that we're not only referring to the upper atmosphere, we're referring to the lower atmosphere also. Because what was this sky called? So the Torah tells us, Vayikra Elokim L'Rokiya Shomoyim. This sky is called heavens. Now we're used to thinking that heavens is high up, so it's the upper atmosphere. But the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah tells us not like that.
The Gemara there in Sukkah and Daf Hey, the Gemara states
that Hashemayim Shomayim Lashem, the heavens, that refers to anything which is lemalam yutfochim, which is higher than ten tfochim. Anything which is higher, ten tfochim is something like 3 feet or a meter. The Dira Shel Odom, man's domain, is under earth. Man cannot live off the earth. It doesn't only mean that man cannot live off the earth. He can't live up way high in the sky or near the planets. He has to be under earth all of the time. His feet must touch the earth. So that's Va'odetz Nosan Livnei Odom. That's the earth. Hashemayim Lashemayim Lashem. The heaven is the abode of Hashem and not of man. That's above the earth, but not necessarily 40 or 50,000 miles high, but above the earth. Lemala miyutfochim, the Gemara says. Higher than 10 tfochim, which is about a meter. And so from the Gemara, it quite clearly implies, although these are very difficult subjects to know a lot about, but it quite clearly implies that that's included in heaven, in Shomayim. So here, when we made the Rokiya, and the Rokiya, the Torah tells us, is the Shomayim. So we're referring not only to the outer atmosphere, we're referring to the inner atmosphere also. See, this is the atmosphere, the inner atmosphere, even the lower atmosphere, that became a division between the Mayim HaTachtonim, the waters which are on the earth, and the Mayim HaElyonim, the waters which are above.
Then, Rashi says that what does it mean that Hashem made the Shomayim?
We explained in the previous Shurim that the Shomayim or Oretz was created on the first day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Bereishis bara Elokim, eis haShomayim veis haOretz." So the heavens were already created on the first day.
So that Rashi tells us, and this is from the Gemara in Chagigo, Daf Yud Beis, the Afelgab de Shemaim Hoyso Nivreis B'Yem Aleph Eidaim Lachim Hoyu.
That even though they were created on the first day, but they were still very moist and very wet,
Bekorshu b'sheni migaros hakorish borchu be'eme yihirakia.
They were still very flexible. They were very wet, and they were not with a strong structure. And now on Yom Sheni, the second day, when Hashem said Yehi Rakia, and He gave this command, so they structured themselves. They stiffened themselves. Migoras Hakadosh Baruch Hu, from the shouting of Hashem when He said Yehi Rakia, let there be a heaven. So they formed themselves into a solid heaven. This is what this is a pasuk brought in Iyuv. Iyuv, it states, Iyuv Chof Vov, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Amudei Shomayim Yerefofu. The Amudei Shomayim, the pillars of the heavens, were Yerefofu. They were soft, and they were not solid. They could not stand still. Amudei Deshomayim is Dazim. Means they were moving back and forth. V'yismahu migarosai. But when the Kodesh Baruch Hu shouted Yehi Rakia, so then they stiffened up like a person who's being shouted at. When a person is being shouted at, all of a sudden he looks up and he stiffens up. This is what happened to the skies, to the heavens. So even though they were created on the first day, but they took the structure that could make the separation only on the second day. And the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga tells us, and Daf Yud Beis, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the sky Shomayim? What does the word Shomayim mean? So the Gemara says, Omer Abiesi Barchanino Sheshomayim. It comes from the words Sheshomayim, because there is water. The Sheen is from the word Shom, and the Mayim refers to water. There is water in the heavens. B'Masnisotano Eshomayim. In the Masniso, the Braiso, we learn it comes from the word Eshomayim. Two words, fire and water. The Sheen comes from the last word of the Esh, fire, and the Mayim, Shom Mayim, comes from the word water. Malamet Sheivina Kodesh Baruch Hu V'Torfen Zeh V'Zeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu made the sky, He made the heavens from a combination of fire and water. He took fire and water and mixed it together. V'Osen Mehen Rakia. And from here He made the Rakia, the sky. Rashi brings this, and then Rashi brings a third interpretation. And that third interpretation is from the Medrash Rabbah. It's from the Medrash Rabbah in Os Dalet, Perek Dalet, Os Ches. Shomayim means saw mayim. The Sheen means saw. Saw means it carries mayim. It carries the water. So we have three interpretations as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu called this Shomayim. Either because there is water, refers to there is water, or a second reason is it's a combination of fire and water, or a third interpretation is because it carries the water. And this is why he calls it Shomayim. Why did he give it a name Shomayim at all? He could have called it Rakia, like he did in the beginning, because this is what it was. It was a big spread. So in that the Gur Aryeh explains, because Shomayim is a name which tells us more of what it is. Rokia is a name which can be used for anything. If you take a metal, you take gold, and you make it into a spread, it's also called Yeraku, from the word Rokia. But Shomayim tells us exactly what it is. It tells us exactly what it is, and also what it's made from. So this gives us a few thoughts into this Rokia, into the Shomayim, which Hashem made. If we, now to go a little further on what we just learned, that He made this to separate between the waters, If we look in Parshas Pinchas, Bamidbar Choftes Choftes, the Torah here is telling us of the Korbanos HaChag, the sacrifices of Sukkos. Every day different sacrifices were brought. Uvayim HaShishi, and on the sixth day, so the Torah tells us what those sacrifices should be. And at the end of the sixth day, it states, Milvad Eile Satomid, besides the regular sacrifice of the day, Minchoso, Unesocheho. And it's Mincho, Unesocheho, and it's liquid offerings. Now, liquid offerings were always brought, or many times brought, on the Mizbeach, on the altar, and they were always from wine. It says, Unesocheho. Each day, a liquid offering was brought. So Rashi brings that generally, when it told us on all of these days, so it state, it said, Vinishko. And but there are some deviations from this. Bisheni Nema Vinishkehem. On the second day of Sukkot, instead of saying Vinishko, it said Vinishkehem. An extra mem is added in the Torah. Unsoch ubishishi unsochecho. On the sixth day, instead of saying vinisko, it says unsochecho, an extra yud was added. And then on the seventh day, it states mishpatom, kim mishpatom. Again, an extra mem was added. So from these three changes, viniskehem unsochecho, kim mishpatom, we have an extra mem, an extra yud, and an extra mem, which spells out mayim, water. This is what the Rashi brings from the Medrash. So what do we learn from this? From here we learn that the nesochim, the water offerings, excuse me, the liquid offerings that came on Sukkos, they were water. Mikar l'nisach ha-mayim b'chag is mi'ateira. The offerings, the liquid water offerings that came on Sukkos were water. And this was the only time of the year that the liquid offerings were not wine, but they were water. And we learned this out because there's an extra mem, an extra yud, and an extra mem. A similar halacha, another halacha, we have in Sefer Vayikra. In Tashis Vayikra, Vayikra Beis, Posuk Yud Gimel. It states, V'chol korban min chosecho b'melech timloch. That whenever you bring a sacrifice, you bring an animal, you should put salt on it when it goes on the altar. V'leisashpis melech brisa lekecho me'al min chosecho. And you shall not annul the covenant of Hashem which he made in regards to the salt. Al kol korbon chotakriv melech. On all of your sacrifices you shall put salt. So this halacha, that salt must be brought on the altar with the sacrifices. This is referred to as a bris, as a covenant, as a bris alekecho, a covenant that Hashem made. Where did Hashem make a covenant that the salt should go on the altar? See, here Rashi brings in the Medrash. He states, Shahabris Krusa Lemelech Misheshish Mebreshis. This covenant was made in the 6 days of the creation, and it's referring to our day, the second day. It's referring to what we're learning. Shehuftecho Amaim Atachtonim Likore B'Mizbeach Melech V'Nisach Amaim V'Chag. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the sky, so he was dividing between the waters above it and the waters below it. Before then, there were no waters below. All the waters were together. So there was a faribul. The waters, which were pushed down below the sky, were not happy. And they said, why are you pushing us down? Before we were above, before we were up high. Why are you pushing us down and making us mine tachtenim? And they weren't happy. They didn't want to go. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I'll make you a promise. You'll come back up. Okay. How will you come back up? You'll come back up in the form of salt and in the form of water. Salt is actually from water. So If you take, you see the water has full of salt. If you take salt and put it in water, it'll melt into water. It's the same. It's considered water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he'll come back up. I'll make sure that when Klal Yisrael brings korbanos sacrifices, that they will not sacrifice any animal without putting salt on it. So the salt will go on the altar. And what happens to everything on the altar? So it's burnt, and Eile Reach Nichayach Lashem, it goes up to Hashem. And I'll also make sure that even in the form of water you'll come back, that on Sukkot, when they bring the liquid offerings, it will be mayim, it will be water. And that will go on the Mizbeach. And anything, and it'll be Eile Reach Nichayach Lashem, it'll go up to Hashem. So this is the Bris Elokecha. This is the covenant of Hashem. That it states that the waters were not refused, or they were not happy with the idea of becoming nibdolim, becoming separated from the higher waters, because they felt they also should be from the upper waters, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them that they will again come up. So this is the bris which we are referring to. Actually, it's interesting, because I once read in a science book that the waters that we have underground, subterranean waters, its nature is constantly trying to go up. See, waters in the earth are trying all the time to go upward. If you make a hole in the earth and there's water, it'll shoot forth. So in the science book it said that this is contrary to the nature of everything else, because everything else is a push downward. I assume maybe that's from the force of gravity. While the waters, especially the subterranean waters, are all the time trying to come upward. See? And this is the Chazal tell us. Why is this? Because they belonged upward. Before the sky, everything was high. See? Everything was lamala. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this sky, and from there he made it lamata. That was against its nature. So it's constantly always trying to return upward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it the promise that it will go up. So this is the Mavdil. Now on this day, on the second day, is the only day of the Sheish Yishmei Bereishis, whereas Le'nemar Tov, the word good is not mentioned. On all other days, the word good is mentioned. Why is it not? So Rashi says, why isn't good, the word good, and every day it states Vayar Hashem ki tov, Hashem saw that it was good, and here it's not mentioned. So he says because on the second day HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working with the water, developing and perfecting the water, and this was not completed on the second day. This continued into the third day. And therefore something which is started and not completed, so it's not in its shlemus, it's not in its totality or perfection, and therefore it's not called good. But on the third day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished the work of the water, and he also started something else, that was with the Deshoyim. He started to make the levush, the garment of the earth, all of the vegetation, and he finished that also. Therefore, Kofel Be Kitov Shnei Pomim. On Tuesday, Kitov is written twice. Achas Ligmar Melechas Hasheni, Achas Ligmar Melechas Hayom. One for what was completed from Monday, and two, a second time, of what began on Tuesday and completed on Tuesday. This is what Rashi brings. Actually, what Rashi is bringing is only one teretz in the Medrash. The Medrash asks this question and gives three answers. There are three opinions. The Medrash in Parsha Daled, Oskes, Roma in Ksi B'Sheni Kitov. Why on the second day on Monday does it not say Kitov? Rabbi Yechon and Tonilo B'Shem, Rabbi Yudah B'Rev Chalafto, Shebei Nivre Gehenem. First answer is because on Monday Gehenna was created. And since Gehenna was created, therefore it does not say Kitov. Incidentally, the world refers to Monday as Blue Monday. Say Blue Monday. Psychologically, they attribute it to the weekend. That after a weekend of rest, evidently doesn't agree so much with the person. So he's got Blue Monday. The fact is, statistics, of industry will tell you that Monday is probably the lowest productive day of the week. That's Blue Monday. But it's Taka Blue Monday. There are deeper reasons in it. Firstly, Shabbat Nivra Gehenna. Gehenna was created on Monday. So there's a reason why it could be blue. Secondly, it was Leinemar by Kitov. It's the only day in the Maaseh Bereishis of the 6 days where Tov was not mentioned. Tuesday, the Gemara says that's a good day. Shekofel by Kitov. Tuesday is a good day. The Gemara itself says Monday is not such a good day because Kitov is not mentioned. See? But Tuesday is a good day because Shekofel by Kitov. Kitov is written twice. So at any rate, Monday is not such a good day, Shabbat Nivra Gehenna, and therefore Kitov is not mentioned. Chanina says another reason, or the reason why Tov is not mentioned on Monday, because on that day was created Machlekes. What does Machlekes mean? Machlekes means division. Division. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided. We had waters, and they were all together, stretching from. They were covering the earth all the way up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a rakia. He made a sky between them. And he broke them. And he made that some should be above and some should be downward. So it states, as it states in the Torah, he says, V'imadu, let it divide, bin maim l'moim. And it did. V'yavdim. So this is division. And division is machlekes. And division is not good. And therefore, if there was division, how can it be kitov? So therefore, tov was not mentioned. Omer evtubia mi machlekes yili tikkuni shaleilam. Uli yeshivein by kitov. Now this was a division which was necessary for the building of the world. If a division which is necessary for the building of the world. And still we don't say tov, machlekes shile avuva alachas kam v'kam. So from here we can learn that if it's machlekes, if it's division, then machlekes for the sake of churban, to destroy. So how much more so? That we cannot say tov. And then the third answer, Amar B'Shmuel, if yishalei nigbaram leches hasmayim. Third answer is the answer Rashi gives, because the works of the waters were not finished. The work of the water continued into the third day. Therefore, on the third day, it's written Kitov twice. One for the works of the water, which was completed then, and one for the work of that day. Now, Shalu Matruna Achas is Rabbi Yosi. A noblewoman, Roman noblewoman, asked Rabbi Yosi, Lama ink si b'sheni Kitov? She asked him this question. Why isn't it written on Monday Kitov? So first he answered, he says, Afal pikein chosva kolam kulam b'sof. You know, we always say that on Tuesday, Tov is written twice. Therefore, it's a good day. Actually, there's another day that Tov was written twice. On Friday. Friday, Tov was written twice. Because on Yom HaShishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the animals. The animals, chayos behemos. The wild animals and the domesticated animals. And then he created man. And then, now, right after he created the animals, Vayara Elokim Ki Tov, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it was good. So that's once on Friday. And then, after he created man, and he instructed man that I give you everything to eat, all vegetation and so forth. It states, Vayara Lakim es kol asher osa. Hashem saw everything he did, v'hinei tov me'od, and it was very good. Vayera v'ayboke yem hashishi. And therefore, it was evening and day on Friday. So Friday also is a very good day. because Kitov was mentioned twice. Although the first Kitov went on the Melech HaSayom and on the animals that he had made that day. The second Kitov goes on everything. You see, Vayar Hashem Elokim is Kol Hashem, also everything. But nevertheless, Tov was said twice. So he answered. He said that the reason why Tov was not said on Monday is not a problem. He says because it was made up for on Friday. On Friday it was said twice, so therefore it was made up for. At the end, this is what he asked. This is what he answered. Afal Bikain, even though it wasn't said on Monday, Chosev Kolam Kulan B'Seif, it was made up on Friday. And that Kitov on Friday, the second one, was not for Friday alone, but was for all of the days. See, Vayar Hashem Eskol Asher also. So therefore, Monday has a Kitov from Friday. Because the Kitov, the second Kitov on Friday, was not only for that day, but it says Vayar Hashem, it was on Friday, he said it, but it did not refer only to that day, but it says Vayar Hashem is Kol Asher also, Kitov Miod, it refers to all of the days. So therefore Monday has a Tov. Vine Tov Miod. Omra Lo, but she was very clever. She said, your answer is not a good answer. Marshal Shisha B'nei Odom, Boy Netzlecho. I'll give you an example, she said. What would happen if six people came to you? And you give a nice gift to every one of the six people. To everyone. Except one. To five you give a nice gift, and one person you leave out. Then you go and you give a gift to all six of them. Does everyone end up with the same? Six people come, and you give five, each one of the five you give a gift, and the six you don't give any. And then you give one gift for all of them. So it comes out everybody ends up with one and a sixth portions, and one person ends up with a sixth portion. So it's the same thing over here. Kodesh Baruch Hu, every day he gave Tov to, except Monday. And then on Friday, it says, Vayar Hashem is Kol Asher also, Ki Tov Biod. He gave Tov to all 6 days. So every day ends up with one and one sixth, and Monday ends up with only one sixth. Not one and one sixth. So therefore, she shrugged him up. He had to retreat. Because of Omalo, he had to say the other answer. So he says, all right, the real answer is because on Monday, they did not complete the work of the waters. So therefore, Kitov was said twice on Tuesday when it was completed. And therefore, the Kitov of Tuesday was for Monday. At any rate, we learn from here that Kitov was said during the Melechas, the Sheshi Shemei HaMelocha, seven times. Seven times, even though it wasn't said on Shabbos, but it was said on seven times. It was Shabbos was missing for perhaps other reasons, and Monday was missing. See, so that would be five. But it was said twice on Tuesday, so that makes it six. And then twice on Friday, which would make it seven. So Kitov was said seven times. And the Kitov, though, that was the second Kitov that was said on Friday, though, was different than all the other Kitovs, because each Kitov was said for the day itself. The Kitov, the second Kitov of Friday, that was said for all of the days. Now these three answers that the Medrash says, why wasn't Tov said on Monday? So one answer we had is because Shabbat Nivra Gehenim, Gehenim was created on Monday. A second is because Machlekes was created, division. And a third is because the works of the water were not completed. We've given a long shurim on this in the past, various places, so we won't go into it at length, but very concisely, the Maral explains that all three of these reasons are very interrelated. They all have a strong point in common. And that is Machlekes is the opposite of creation. Creation is when you make an entity. You make a reality, a yesh, something which is. Like it states, like we explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, yesh me'ayin. He made something from nothing. So creation is something. It's an entity. It's a reality. And for something to be an entity, a reality, it has to be something, and it has to be a dovishul kayoma, something that will last, something that will stand, something that is lasting. Because if you put something together and it's going to collapse, that's not much of a reality. That's not a reality. You build a house and it's going to collapse, well, then that's not a binyan, that's not building. And for something to last, then it has to be perfect. If something is perfect, it will last. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes something and it's perfect, it will last forever until he comes to recall it. This is why it states by Emes Koy, the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands forever. Because that's perfect. And that's a real reality. That's an entity. And it will stand forever. Shikra Leikoy, deceit, lies, that will destroy itself. That will collapse. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he looked at everything and he saw it was perfect, it was beautiful that it was perfect and it had the qualities of lasting, he said Vayara Shem Ki Tov. So he called it Tov. Tov being something which is perfect, and therefore it's a true entity and will last. And then Vayera Vayvoke Yom Echot. It was evening and the day of the first day or the second day. In other words, we must carry on then. Because since it was good and it was lasting, we can go further. Machlekes is just the opposite. The word Machlekes comes from the word cholak. Cholak means to break, to divide. Cholak is when you take something which is an entity and you break it. Actually, the word opposite Machlekes is sholem. Shalom comes from the word shalem. Shalem means something which is in totality, perfect. So machlekes comes from the word chiluk, to break. Machlekes is division. Division is the opposite of oneness. So machlekes is the antithesis of creation. Creation is to build and to make something which is perfect and lasting, while machlekes is to destroy, is chorban. Therefore, on Machlekes you can never say Tov. It can't be an entity. Tov is a lasting entity. While Machlekes is the destruction of an entity. So therefore, on Machlekes cannot be Tov. Now, on all three of these things mentioned, Gehenem is the opposite of creation. Gehenem was something which was void and empty. When Hashem created the world, he left a certain corner without creation. This is why Gehenem is known as an abyss. See, a voidness, an emptiness. It's cheshek v'tzalmovis, darkness. Darkness is a voidness in creation. The or the light was creation, and the darkness was a voidness in the creation. When the Almighty created the world, he left a certain area uncreated, and that was Gehenem. Shebei nivra Gehenem. So on Gehenem we certainly cannot say Ki Tov, it's good. Because Tov is on something that's an entity, a lasting entity that's created. On Machlekes we cannot say Ki Tov, as we explained. Because this is Churban, while the other is creation. And on something which was Lei Nigmaro, on the waters which were not completed, the work was started but it was not completed, we cannot say Ki Tov because they are not an entity yet. Something which is unfinished is not in its totality. If it's not in its totality, it's not sholem, it's not perfect. If it's not perfect, it cannot last. So therefore, all three of these reasons have all the common aspect why we cannot say Ki Tov. Because Tov can only go on something which is a lasting mitzius, a lasting reality and entity, like the rest of the Maaseh Bereishis. But on Monday we couldn't say Ki Tov, because of the Gehenna,
which is the opposite of creation, because of Machlekes, which is the opposite, division, which is opposite of creation. It was the breaking of the waters, the dividing of the waters, even though it was necessary for the world, and because of the unfinished creation. From here we learn that when you do something, you must finish it. See? As long as you don't finish it, it's not a reality yet. It's not a total reality. From here we learn what Machlekes is. From here we learn what Machlekes is. If people would know what Machlekes is, they wouldn't run to Machlekes so quickly. We live in a world of Machlekes at all levels, be it at the personal level, at the home level, or the communal level, or the national, international level. Wherever you turn, there's Machlekes. If people would realize what Machlekes is, they wouldn't run so quickly to make Machlekes. They would do everything impossible to be Mesalek Mina Machlekes. Because Machlekes is Churban. And the Gemara here, the Medrash, is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the waters in order to make a Shemayim, a heaven. And the heaven was so imperative for the world. And the division of the waters was so imperative for the world. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in his wisdom to do. And still he was unable to say on Monday Ki Tov, because it was a division. It was division of a something that was whole. The waters were one unit and he divided them into two. And so the Medrash says, Uma machlekes shehil litikunai shalom. This division was necessary for the creation of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did it, and still he refrained from putting his stamp of tov, of good on it. So machlekes shehi lechorbonam. So machlekes that people have that come to destroy, how much more so? If people would realize the churban, the destruction, and the enormity of the avera of machlekes, they wouldn't be so quick to get involved in dissensions. Now, let's go to the next day. The next day is Yom HaShishi. And it states, Vayem Elokim Yikovu Hamayim Mitachas HaShomayim. Here again, we're continuing with the work of the water. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that let all of the waters gather up, all of the waters Mitachas HaShomayim, beneath the heavens, gather up El Mokom Echod. Let them all gather up at one place, V'seiro'eh HaYaboshu, in order that the dry land can be seen. V'yichein, so it was. This dry land which became Shin, Hashem called it Eretz, or Oretz, the earth, and the gathering of water he called seas, and he saw it was good. Why did Hashem have to come and say, let all of the waters gather up to one place and let the earth be seen?
So Rashi tells us, Shtuchin hoy al pnei kol ha'oretz.
The waters had covered the entire earth. This means that before, this is on the third day now, and on the third day Hashem commanded the waters to gather up so the earth could be seen. This means until then there was just water. It was like a flood. The waters had spread over the entire earth. The Gemara tells us in Chagigo, again in Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara states, one minute if I can find it. Omar, Vomer Vyud Omarav. Shosh Barakorish Bokas Elam, Barish Bokhu came to create the world. Now, first it's referring to the heavens, to the creating of the skies. When Hashem said, Yirokia, let there be a sky, the creation of the sky carried on and continued endlessly. It would be like someone who was weaving something, someone who was weaving a great cloth, a great spread. Let's say the machines went out of control, and they just went on and on and on. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yirokia, so the sky started to weave itself, and went on endlessly. Atshegoa by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at it, Ve'amido, and said, stop. And it stopped. And that's what it says. It brings that pasuk we brought before, the Amudei Shomayim Yirafulfu V'Yismo Migarosei, that the pillars of the heaven were all soft and flexible until HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at it. So here it refers that they were in the process of a never-ending creation until HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted and it stopped. And that's what is meant, Omer Ishlokish Maidiksiv, Ani Kel Shakai. Ani Hu Shamati Le'elam Dai. One of the names of Hashem is Shin Dalet Yud. And it comes from the word Dai. Dai means enough. Actually, by Yaakov Avinu, when he sent down Binyamin, he didn't want to send Binyamin to Egypt, and they said that if you don't send Binyamin, we won't be able to get our brother Shimon back, and we won't be able to get anything to eat. So finally, he sent Binyamin down, and then he said, "Bekel Shakai." What did he mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu said die to the creation of the world. He said enough by the creation of the world. Let him say die letzorosi. Let him also say enough to my tzoros. Because Yaakov said, I've had so much tzoros that since my youth I was never able to rest. What does it mean he said die? He said enough by the creation of the world. When he said that something should be, it carried on and on and on until he said enough, and then it stopped. So now the Gemara brings the same thing by the sea. Other states, Ikadi Amir Amoresh Lokish, Beshoshaba, Kodesh Baruch Hu Hayom. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the sea. Hoyomarchi Behelech. So again, when he said, let there be the sea started to spread and spread and spread endlessly. And it covered the entire world. Achegoba, Kodesh Baruch Hu, until Kodesh Baruch Hu shouted at it, by Yaveshu. And then it dried, then it stopped. That's what it states. And it brings a pasuk from Nochum. Nochum in Shei Osir. In Nochum Aleph, pasuk Dalet. Geir Bayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouted at the sea by Yabshehu, and it dried up. Yechola Nohores Hecheriv, and all of the rivers dried up. This means that the waters covered the entire earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yikovu Hamayim, he shouted at the sea. Gathered up, and the waters therefore gathered up, and they stopped spreading. And the dried earth was to be seen. So geir bayom bayapshehu, Hashem shouted at the sea, and it dried up. And also the rivers. It could be an explanation in this. Why? Because if you recall, in the first year, we said that Hashem created the world with a base. Breshis bor elekim. Because base is brocha. And the creation was brocha. The word base is the first Hebrew letter that has a numerical, an additional numerical value. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a brocha, it's endless. Hashem is Ein Sof. There's no end to him. So when he gives a brocha, it's endless. He has to stop it. The same thing when he gave a brocha to the world, that creation should start. It was endless until he said, stop. At any rate, we learn from here that until Tuesday, until the third day, there was no earth. There was just waters, Maim Shtuchin, al kol penei haaretz. There was waters covering the entire world.
and there was no life. No life was created yet. So there was just water covering the entire world. And this is what the Medrash tells us. See, the Medrash, Rabbo, in Hey Aleph, states from the beginning, very beginning of creation, Bereshis Bara Elokim, until this time, so there was only waters, and the praise of Hashem only came from the waters. Adohu Dixiv, and this is what's meant by the pasuk in Tehillim. We say it in our davening, Mikeles Maim Rabim Adirim Mishberei Yom, that there were the Keles Maim Rabim, the enormous shattering and the enormous noise that came from this strong currents and waves of the sea. Mahoya Emrim Adir Bamoram Hashem. What were they saying? Adir Bamoram Hashem, that how mighty is Hashem in His high. So till man was created, and especially till the third day, there wasn't even earth, so there was only water. So Shtuchin Hoya Al Kol Pnei Adama, they were spread over the entire world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yikov Amayim Mitachas HaShemayim, let all of the waters under the heavens gather up into one place. Now it's interesting, it states the waters Mitachas HaShemayim, the waters under the heavens. In other words, the waters on top of the heavens didn't gather up. They're spread over the entire world. But the waters beneath the heavens, they must gather themselves up. See, they must gather themselves up. So they must limit themselves in order there can be room for earth. Then it states, El Mokom Echod. They should limit themselves to one place. What does it mean they should limit themselves to one place? So Rashi brings, Hikovum, this is also from the Gemara, Hikovum bi'u kainos, hu hayama godl shebechol hayomim. He gathered them all up into one sea. And that is the Ukainus. What sea the Ukainus is, I can't tell you for sure. If it's the Atlantic or the Pacific, I don't know. But it's called the Ukainus. And Hu Hayama Gorl Mikola Yomim, and it's the largest sea. I believe geographically, the Pacific is the largest sea. So maybe it's referring to the Pacific. Now, if all the waters were spread over the entire world, Shtuchin al Pnei Kol Adam, and then Hashem said, let them all be gathered up into one place, and that one place would be that one sea. So this means then that all of the waters in the world were limited to one sea. So this is, therefore there's only one sea. According to our knowledge, there are many seas. But not so much according to our knowledge. The Torah itself says there are many seas. Because immediately afterwards it states, Vayikra Elokim Layabosha Eretz, he called the dry land earth, Limikveya Mayim Kora Yamim. And to the gathering of the water, he called Yamim, seas, plural. So was there one sea or many seas? So this the Chazal tell us. Rashi brings it. No, there's only one sea. He said, let all of the waters which cover the entire face of the earth be limited to one place, to one sea. And that's the Ukainus. Alright, now's a question. If, why are they called many seas then? So Rashi explains that they're only called many seas because because if you catch fish in the northern seas, for example, it'll be a herring. If you catch fish in the southern seas, it'll be a different type of fish altogether. So therefore, since the fish that come from different parts of that sea taste entirely different, therefore it was called Yamim. But basically it's one sea. So this Ukainus then is one sea which encompasses all the waters of the world. That which means, and we see geographically, that all of the seas are connected. all of your seas in the world, your major seas are connected on top of the ground. Not only subterranean, but on top of the ground. They are all connected, your major seas. So that was all called one sea, the Ulchinus. So maybe Ulchinus refers to all of the seas then. I don't know if it refers to one particular one. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to them as many individual seas because they spread out in different parts of the world and they have a different type of chemical makeup perhaps or something in regards to their climate impressions, in regards to the fish and so forth. We also find that not only are all of the seas basically one sea, but we find this true also with the rivers. In Keheles, the Pasuk in Keheles, beginning of Keheles, that states, this is in Keheles Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Kol HaNecholim Holchim Alayon, all of the rivers go into the sea. See, they all end up into the sea. And the sea is never full. This is what Shlema Melech said. And then it states, El Mekem Shanecholim Holchim Shom Heim Shovim Leleches. They return to the place where the rivers come from, which we'll explain in a minute. But the rivers also are considered joined to the sea. And Achazal referred to the sea as the Gevirta, the sea as the mistress, the madam, and the river as the Shivcho, as the maidservant. For example, it states by the Kriyas Yamsuf when Mesha struck the sea, it states Hayom Ro Layonis Hayadein Tosuv LeOchor, that the sea saw a Klal Yisrael coming, and it moved back. And the Yarden, the Jordan, also moved back. So the sages ask, if he struck the sea, what does the Jordan have to do with this? And the answer is Loksa Gvirta, Loksa Nami Shivchosa. That if you strike the madam, the mistress, so then her Shivcha also is smited. And therefore she also stood back. This is why it states Kishesh Yomim Oso Hashem Es HaShomayim Ves HaOretz Ves HaYom. He made the Shomayim, he made the Oretz, he made the Yam. Just like the Shomayim is something which is kolel, which is all encompassing, and the earth is something which is all encompassing, we mention also he made the Yam, because the sea is all encompassing. Now we're not referring to one sea, we're referring to all of the waters in the world. All of the waters in the world were called the sea, because they were all Yikovu Amayim al Mokom Echod. Let all of the waters of the world gather up into one place. And this is what we refer to as the sea. So the sea is a Shem Kloli. The sea refers to the waters. They're the source of the waters in the world. This is why we find when it states that Mesha struck the sea, so it says Vayiboku Hamayim, the water split. Hayam le'nemar elamayim doesn't say the sea split, but the water split. Kol mayim shiva'ilam, all of the water in the world. When Mesha struck this Red Sea, the Yam Suf, and a miracle took place that the sea was smitten and the sea split. He struck at the heart of the water, and therefore vayiboku hamayim, the water split. Kol mayim shiva'ilam. So when we refer to the sea, we have to have great derecheres, great respect for the sea, because this encompasses all of the waters in the world. They spread over the entire earth, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited them. He shouted at them and he said, Yikovu L'mayim Echod, your place is there, not here. And this encompasses and represents the waters of the world. Actually, the Rashi tells us that Shlema Melech said, he says, Kol HaNecholim Holchim Elayam, all of the rivers go to the sea. And the sea is never full. How can that be? What happens to it? There's literally billions of tons of water entering into the sea every hour. Billions of tons of water. You've got gigantic rivers. The Amazon enters into the sea. At the point where the Amazon enters into the sea, it's known as a sea. It's as big as the sea itself. It's pouring billions of tons of water into the sea every hour. Vayamin enamole. And the sea is never full. How can that be?
So this is what Shlomo HaMelech explains. He says, "Lefishein nishorim b'seichai." It doesn't remain in the sea. What happens to the water?
This Yamukainus, in other words, the great sea, is higher than the entire world. We'll come to this in a minute. Beneath the sea, there are subterranean channels that go beneath the sea into the earth. And these channels go back into the mountains. They go underground, under the earth, which is beneath the sea, and it channels its way to the mountains. And the waters travel there. And then they go up the mountains, to the top of the mountains. They become filtered in the process from the salt. And then they come out of the mountains, which are the source of the rivers.
And the chazerim v'nevim, v'zeu el mokim sh'anacholim, holchim shom, heim shovim el, heim shovim. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. He says, "Kol anacholim holchim el ayomba, yomein enamole." All of the rivers go into the sea, and the sea is never full. El mokim sh'anacholim, holchim shom, heim shovim elechus.
Because they return to the place where is the source of the rivers. So we see it's all connected. All of the seas are connected. And these seas become the source of the rivers, and the rivers in turn come back into the sea. So now we can understand why it's all called Yam, it's one sea, and why the rivers are known as the Shifcho, they're known as the maidservant of the sea. Now, then it states, by Seiroya Hayabosho, let the earth be seen. Now from here we see a Chiddush, from here we see something which it's not the usual way we think. We see that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the sea to gather himself up, gather herself up in one place, therefore was Seiroi HaYabosho. Therefore the earth became revealed. So what do we learn from that? We think, and this is from our scientific knowledge, is that the reason why the seas do not cover the earth is because there's not enough water to cover the earth. They cover as far as they can go. And they can only go as high to a certain point. So therefore the land, the earth which is higher than the sea cannot cover. But earth which is lower than the sea, then the sea covers it. This is the way we see it. If that would be the case, we'd have some questions. So what does it mean that before this day the waters covered all of the earth? Where did all that water come from? That it was able to cover all of the earth? And how was it so high that it was able to cover all of the earth? And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to shout at it and say, gather yourself up into one place in order to say, Yorah Yabosha? If you take a glass of water, and if you have a big bowl, or if you have a certain area, and there's not enough water to cover the area, so you won't have to limit the water in order to be Seiroi Yabosh, in order that the earth should be seen. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. Don't think that the reason why the earth is able to be seen is because there's not enough water to cover the earth. It's not true. There's enough water to cover the earth, and the water is high enough to cover the earth. But migarose shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because of the tzivoy, of the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yikovu, limit yourself. This is why Seiroya Hayabosho. This is why the earth is to be seen. So in other words, this that we see, if you go to the edge of the sea, and you see that the sea comes to a certain point, always comes into a certain point. Right? It fluctuates a bit with the tides. But the high tides will always come to a certain point. If there'll be very high seas, there'll be big storms, they'll come a little further. But if you notice that there's a line where they build houses. They build houses there because as far as memory recalls, the sea has never come closer. So the sea is always coming to a certain point, but never further. That's from the miracles of creation. Not that it's physically incapable. It's physically capable. But because Hashem said, Yikovu amai, you are limited and this is your place. Gvul osa, he made a boundary. He made a boundary and he says, here is the place of the water and from here is the place of the earth. So not because it's physically incapable, because of the tzivuya, the command of Hashem. Now a second thing that we see from here, and this is also something which we cannot explain scientifically or geographically. For waters to be able to spread over earth, then the waters must be higher than the earth. If you put water in a valley, it's not going to spread over the earth. Unless it becomes higher. It has to be higher. Or if you had waters that were under earth, spread over the earth, and now you told the waters gathered up into one place, so that gathering of water would be higher than the earth. So this would mean that sea level is higher than the earth, or at least in the depths of the sea. The sea is piled higher than the earth. Because if there was shtuchin, I'll call Peneha Adonah, if it was spread over the entire earth, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited it, and he stacked it all in one place, so it would be higher. According to our knowledge, sea level is not higher than the earth. See, sea level is lower than the earth. The earth is higher. The Chazal tell us that sea is higher. And the Rashi brings it here in Kehelis. That pasuk in Kehelis that we quoted, so he brings ki ukainus du kainus, see, hu gavaya mikol ha'elam klu, is higher than the whole world. As it states, he brings a pasuk from Amos. This is Nisa's Chazal's hakele lemei hayom v'yishbechem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to put the sea over the earth, so he spilled it. He spilled the sea into the earth. He says, when a person spills something, how does he spill it? He spills it derech mala lamata. You spill it from high to low. So therefore, the sea is higher. It seems from there that Rashi seems to say that's why the sea has the power to project its waters underground and high up into the highest mountains. Because the highest point of the sea is higher than the highest mountains. See, and we know that water can go up to its original height. But at any rate, this is what we see from the Psukim. It states the water covered the entire earth. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu gathered up all that water and put it in one place. So then that water would have to be higher than the highest place of the earth. So that's something else that it would seem from here and from the Chazals, but also something according to our scientific knowledge. We have difficulty understanding it that way. On the third day, the works of the waters were complete. And then, on the second half of the third day, the rest of the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the vegetation for the earth, as it states, "Vayim Elokim Tatsia Oretz," all of the vegetation of the earth. And this is why Ki Tov is mentioned twice. Like we said before, first Ki Tov is mentioned because it was now the completion of the works of the waters, and secondly Ki Tov is mentioned at the end of the third day because all of the vegetation of the earth was completed. So this gives us some thoughts on the Maase of Bereishis on the second and third days.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg South Africa.